Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All aboard the Russian Doll Season 2 podcast train. My name is Ariel, and our next stop is the last episode after this. I am joined by my two co-conductors, Grace and Marissa. Grace, what's going on?
Choo-choo! We're almost at penultimate episode.
Are you going to miss saying choo-choo?
Very much so. Yeah. Well, I'll still say choo-choo, but just not on a podcast with the two of you. Fair enough.
What about you, Marissa?
I'm good. This was an episode. It got me. It was there's a lot here. I'm kind of still processing it.
Yeah, this episode was much more like I don't know how to put it. Like almost like more like dream logic than some of the previous logic we've seen in the show, and not in a way that like worked any less for me. It was just like I had to like stop myself, like, okay, just stop paying attention to like be in the moment, right? Because the some of the stuff isn't going to make sense right away or ever potentially, but well, it was still really enjoyable and really, really messed up.
Much like last season, it seems like they sort of introduced the idea of like a multiverse towards the end of the season, that multiple things are happening at once. So yeah,
it was. I mean, I know this is another thing, but it really was everywhere, everything, all at once. Like, it was all of the things.
I was thinking that it was every Ruth everywhere all at once. Yeah.
Yes.
We should be so lucky.
I know. Well, and I mean, that's still a question, right? Like, she's still around. We think, we hope, maybe. I don't know. Don't tell us from the future. But we don't know. She could be. I'm keeping up the hope.
Yeah, it's crazy. To see, like, maybe, you know, we're sitting here being like, oh, something bad's gonna happen to her, and then it's like, maybe something bad did happen, maybe something didn't happen. It's
technically crazy. Both. Last season, I feel like the end of the penultimate episode the end of the last episode is it gets really sad, and then it sort of ends on a happy-ish note, although it's kind of, you know, they're in the parade. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like a gut punch is coming in the next episode, but that's, you know, and again, we've talked, speculated a lot that it's, you know, Ruth will pass away. That's big to put in the last episode. So I kind of thought it was coming in this episode. So potentially it's not coming, but we will see. We shall see.
I mean, the baby is definitely coming. The baby.
There's no stopping the baby.
Yeah.
Don't stop me now. But speaking of season three, it's interesting. I forgot, you know, I don't think it's been officially renewed yet. No. Natasha Lyonne specifically has spoken. She spoke years, you know, back in season one times on the press tour about like how, you know, they have a three season-ish story in mind. And more recently I've seen interviews where like that is the plan. Mm-hmm. So ostensibly, if they really believe that they're going to have a third season, could we see like a true cliffhanger at the end, in the way that the last one was a little bit more open-ended, you know, kind of could serve as an ending. This one, who knows?
Yeah,
this could also be, you know, we've talked about Ted Lasso. I don't know if we've talked about Ted Lasso, but yep. Push Recaps covered Ted Lasso. And Ted Lasso, very similarly, they did season one and they didn't really know if they're getting a season two. And so the end of season one ends, you know, that could have probably, if that was it, that could have been it. And then season two, they called it their Empire Strikes Back season, which, you know, could be a similar thing that Russian Doll will give us at the end of season. Too, which would, ooh, I like both, like it and don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know,
I like it as long as I know I'm getting a third season. Like at least with Ted Lasso, like we know that like season three is coming. I, not knowing what this makes me, I mean, it is, I can't do anything about it. It is what it is. But it's just a little unnerved. I'm like, oh, but I need to know what happens.
I mean, there's two things. It does feel like this is a big enough show. It's Amy Poehler, Natasha Lyonne. Like, it does feel like Netflix, you'd probably be not smart to cancel it. They have some pretty bad
financial issues at the moment.
They were having some press issues.
I was going to say, but you could argue that in this case, they're like, okay, we know that this is a sure thing. Like, you know, we're not like really rolling the dice. Like, as far as, you know, having a show that people are definitely going to watch, who knows about the numbers of season two versus season one. But to your point, you know, the caliber, the acting caliber, the writing caliber, it's kind of a no-brainer. Just like let it give us the one last season. This isn't Stranger Things, $30 million an episode or whatever that crazy figure is they just released. So, I mean, it's just a doll. It's just a doll. It's so cheap.
Well, the time traveling is more expensive than you'd think. Because they actually did go back in time.
But it's fun. It's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of unknowns when you look at it through the Netflix of it all. But there have been shows that have been renewed just for like one last season on Netflix. They've done people that service, except for, oh crap,
Glow.
I just forgot the name of the show.
Glow.
Glow is one, and then One Day at a Time. One Day at a Time. They did One Day at a Time wrong.
Yeah.
That was a...
Again, I also feel like this is bigger than One Day at a Time, even though...
It sure is.
I do feel like they have not let... On the big shows, barring Scandal, and even when there was a Scandal, they did, you know, House of Cards. They did let that play out without the scandalous individual in the equation. You know?
Oh, my
God. I feel like these big shows... they get their run typically. So
now that you say Scandal, should they have tried to, I guess this was last season, House of Cards was, I think, if I'm remembering my timeline correctly, that was pre Shonda deal with Netflix, but could they have brought in Kerry Washington from Scandal?
Oh my gosh.
Missed opportunity. All I'm saying.
That's happened though in another universe.
It happened. Oh my God. Imagine Robin Wright and Kerry Washington, and they're just having like a stare off. And they're both drinking wine. Or I guess only Kerry Washington drinking wine.
Well, the clothes would be on point. That's pretty good. For both of them.
Yes, the only person missing from there would be Hannah Waddingham's character from Ted Lasso.
Yes. Rebecca. Please make this happen. Yes.
I want to see that show. It's just girl talk. That's what it's called. It's called Girl Talk. But that is an imaginary show. This is a real show. and this is the penultimate episode here. It's I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared for Ruth, as we already said.
It's just fear. Push through it. We'll be fine.
The only way out is through, especially for that baby.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So on that horrible note, let's get into Schrodinger's Ruth.
Well, okay. This is the thing I never thought I'd be podcasting about. So we are here on a train, and Nadia Nora is definitely having this baby. Like, this is happening. So they step off the train, go onto the platform. Everyone's there. We've got Vera, we've got Ruth, we've got Nora, we've got Nadia, we've got Delia, we've got the MTA lady, we've got the, you know, we've got everybody coming in here, the guardian angel man. Everybody's coming in. Ruth is doing her best of what she knows in like keeping track of contractions. And then at one point she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just have a watch on my hand. Like, I thought this was like a very real description. Like, I mean, I have not gone through this, nor have I witnessed this, especially on a subway. But I could relate.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
In the 80s, it was happening every day. Like, every day. It was just like,
so many keys to the city we're giving up.
So many cities, so many keys.
And, you know, Nadia's freaking out. And she's like, hey, Ruthie, you got to get me back on this train. And Delia, I don't know, she must be some sort of doula, or she's just really like grounding herself in the trauma and survival mode that she has had to be in since the beginning of time. Because her encouragement to Nora here is, this is just fear. Push through. You're a survivor. I'm just like,
she's doing pretty good. Like, right? As far as, you know, people that you don't know well.
Yeah, that's
thank
true.
God. Thank God Ruth is there, because Ruth is like actually her people.
Yeah. I mean, I say thank God Ruth is there, but Vera is just like, you're not a real doctor. Yeah. Like, Claire's you're useless. The shade. You're useless. So
aren't you a doctor? And she's like, not in this. She's like, not a real doctor. Not a doctor.
Useless. Useless. She's so upset. She's like, I can't with these women. I can't win.
Right? Like, I mean, I think in Vera's mind, like, you have to be all of the things. Like, all of the things you have to
be. Well, we know that they do not exactly get along, you know?
Right, yes, right. Agreed.
This is a page in a large book.
And it shows that, like, even right now, while Nora is going into labor and having a baby, Vera cannot with Ruth. She cannot bring any compassion or anything to the situation. She's like, you're not a real doctor. And Ruth's response, I think, is pretty good. She's like, maybe I can deliver a baby because it's happening right now. Like,
yeah.
This is what's happening.
Yeah.
I can do things that are happening right now. Again, being very present in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our good friend, the Guardian Angel. He shows up. He is prepared to get involved.
Laughed so hard in this part, because it was like, it's kind and it's great that he's just gonna put it so like mansplainy and
yes!
just like, listen, I'm just gonna fail my way up. I am prepared to involve myself in a situation that has nothing to do with
me. Yeah, mansplainy is probably the best way to put him. Yeah,
and he mansplainy is like, use those sit-up muscles. Yeah. I'm like, Ruth is like, what are you even talking about? Like,
really, really sit-up muscles?
This is how it goes.
Man,
and so Nadia, so at this point,
I'm just upset that our friend, the MTA lady that we already mentioned, didn't have a line, because she looked
I think I also got a like, I'm here with you lady type of
oh
line.
Okay,
like, yeah, I think I got one of those.
Okay, good. That's better.
But yeah, a line would have been good. Like, it would have been great if she pushed the guardian angel man out of the way and was like, I got this, like,
right.
You know, like,
yeah, use your sit-up muscles and push him out of the way.
Nadia's freaking out. She's like, I did not sign up for this. This is not like, what is happening? Like, can you like, I don't even want to imagine, but can you imagine? It's just, this is some big
in
things
the subway.
Happening.
Yeah.
the subway. Her human body is already like right, the Nora body, right, is already like super, the alarms are going off, it's happening now. The system is all aboard, so to speak. And then on top of it, you have the psychological trauma or traumatic nature of this thing for Nadia, of like, having to deliver herself. She's not ready. She hasn't been pregnant. She's been pregnant for what, like 3 days total? Like, right. You know,
and at
in.
Like the end of the journey, like it wasn't like uh-huh. a buildup.
Yeah.
Just, she like, has not boom. Had any preparation for this at all. And she just wants, it's brutal to be like, if she just gets back on the train, then maybe they can release her. But then what would happen to the body of her mom in that? It sucks. It's too late.
Yeah. But Delia's like, don't worry. Everything will be okay when the baby comes. And Nadia's like, I am the baby.
I am the baby.
Like,
yeah.
What?
Not the mama, not the mama.
Exactly. Exactly. And
oh, man.
So things, you know, are happening. We got, you know, labor and delivery is happening. And so we've got calls for a towel in true 80s man fashion. A man mm-hmm. walks up and takes off his shirt. And Ruth is like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't want that man's sweat. I don't.
Listen, we're already in the subway. Now we're part of this ecosystem. And in this, within this ecosystem, there are levels.
I did not, like, I did not appreciate the man, like, I'll take off my shirt. But it was so fun. Like, Ruth's reaction was so funny. I think, like, everyone is so true to their character in this moment. Mm-hmm. It was just so fun.
Even the man. Listen, whether he's clean or not, literally the shirt off his back. That's much better than sit up muscles guy. Than the Guardian Angels yeah. guy who's like didn't even offer his beret to like catch anything in it.
Like just... that one time Boston Rob literally had his family on his
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
Stop.
I mean, he didn't literally, but
I know that was the joke.
He drew a picture. He drew a picture of his family. No, I actually didn't. I wasn't sure, but he actually drew a picture of his family and put it on his back. And he's like, look, yeah. I'm carrying it.
Anyway, so Ruth is like, ooh, and then okay, this is what I put in the notes. I don't remember if this actually said, but here's the baby that is you. Like, I was like, here it is. It's like, here you are. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Laszlo. Laszlo Kiss. Yeah. Dr. Kiss. Rick Laszlo Kiss.
Dr. Kiss.
Save that for a trivia game. That'll work. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Wow. I have my tongue out like I like Kiss.
If that's a real Subway baby. You know, and everyone's like,
sweet Subway baby.
Yes. Yeah. Delia. Oh my gosh. This delivery of Sweet Birthday Baby was classic Delia. I think she just was so proud of herself after she, uh-huh. she said it too.
Yeah. Like, also, I was like, did they get Greta Lee to do like facial acting that they then captured? Right. What is it called? Motion capture. And to get her, so then they could put Delia's face on it, but it was really her voice. I don't know. It felt so, you know, it screamed.
Or did they put Greta Lee in Delia, the actress who's playing the get yes. on the train to get her body to then
get her pregnant?
Oh my God. No. No.
I mean, speaking of faces, though, the face acting by Natasha Lyonne during this whole point of like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Oh my, that's me. Also, yay, baby. Like, it was all. She did a phenomenal job. I had to pause, of course, to take notes a couple times, and they're just like seeing her face, like she was emoting so many things. Again, A+ face acting.
I don't know. I feel like Eric, you and I, like, we've watched a lot of movies over the last you know, that I just feel like, yeah, all right, she had her own bit. She had a yeah.
So yeah. What? So yeah, what? Have you ever confronted yeah, right. your mom in the past to face their yeah. trauma? Have yeah, you yeah. ever? Yeah, it's kind of like, it's so, I mean, we already talked about this a little bit, but it's so in the zeitgeist. And, you know, a lot of these different projects, TV shows, movies, whatever, have been in development for like different number of years. So like, you know, it's not to say at all that like people are copying off each other. It's more just like, this is where we are now, right? As a culture. Right. And like, we are yeah. opening our minds to like this kind of insane, complicated storyline.
Or we're like crying out for help because we all need to heal from trauma. Like, it's like enough.
Yes.
We need to heal. Like,
how do we get to the past?
Yes. It's
sci-fi, baby. That's the only way.
Healing trauma through multiverses. What a concept.
Yeah. What a concept. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So everyone's happy Nadia's here, and the song Running with the Devil plays, and we wake up in a hospital with Chaz.
He's next. Extra. He extra sucks this
Super
season.
Sucks.
He is. I think he did. I think he passes Mike.
I think. This, he, yeah. I had this thought. Wow. He's really. At least, he's really miking it up in this.
At least Mike has moments of like he realizes like he's like I'm a whole or something. You know.
Yes,
he, like,
yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wow, that's kind of profound.
This guy would never say that.
I will always give credit for self-awareness. Chess has none of it. Like, there's none of it.
At least Mike, if Nadia were having the baby and he were on the phone, he'd be like, I'm on the phone. But he wouldn't he wouldn't like be insulting.
Yeah. So he's there and he's smoking a cigar and I'm like, oh God, please no, please, please. This can't be no. And we know it's not, but also like still like no. And then he gets in the bed with Nora and his dirty shoes and I was like, what are you doing?
We already were on the subway. Get out of here with that. They just cleaned up.
Goodbye. And in his ever opportunistic fashion, he's like, here's what we should do. We should sue the MTA because like this could be big for us. This could give us a lot of money.
This is the new scam.
Yeah. Yeah. And Nora's like, really? Like what? Nora and Nadia is just like, no. And then he says what he says. I'm not going to say it. He just says what he says because he says it a couple of times. And then Vera is just like, this shit-faced man, like, how dare you come here? This is the type of man you want to keep in your life? You think you're ready to bring a child? I was just like, oh my gosh. I was like, yay, you're standing up for her. Oh, this is bad. Like, a complete 180 in the comments there.
The Vera and Nora stuff is super interesting, I think, in this episode in terms of like how she feels like Nora is like not ready to be a mother. They're very worried about like what's going to happen to this baby, and then also but still like sometimes goes into like very like mother mode with her. So yeah,
it's kind of like she's flickering, right? Like she's in between. In between worlds.
Be kind. Be a mother. Oh, be nice.
Give up the baby, though. Also,
the baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I forgot.
Yeah. We learn that, like, Vera and Delia have been plotting since the beginning to take Nora's baby because we can't control her. She needs to go back to the asylum. And Ruth is like, yo, listen, don't call it that. It's just another name, or it's another type of hospital. And Vera replies, changing what I call it doesn't change the thing itself, which again I think is one of those other like big lines that could be applied to other things, but in this case I am on team Ruth. Like, don't call it Mendocino Asylum. It's a hospital with a different name.
I don't like their plans.
Yeah,
like, stick to planning. Like, what happens if a dictator returns? Don't like, it's like tired planning for when a dictator
comes. So less wired even.
Like stealing my daughter's baby. It's not good. It's not okay.
Yeah, agreed. And Ruth is like, just give Nora a chance. Like, but Vera and is like, this woman's not family. Like, we can't trust her. Again, with Delia,
who's also not family.
Right. Yes, I was like,
family in the same way. It's so hypocritical.
Yeah, Delia is to Vera as Ruth is to Nadia.
Yes, and you would think that Vera would recognize that. Like, you needed your one. I have my one. Okay.
No. Ruth is too new age for Vera. I get like, yeah, it's like
she's too. Yeah. She's just too good looking.
Here's the thing: if she doesn't approve of Ruth, could she at least? Well, she doesn't know Nadia yet. Yeah, that's right. I was like, could she at least understand from like Nadia's point of view? She's We're not there yet. Different time. Yeah, the little baby. Baby knows.
Nadia, pick your Max and your other friend.
Lizzie,
thank you.
Wow, the Lizzie erasure.
I'm sorry. She didn't.
Lizzie is an all-star this episode.
She didn't come to Budapest.
She didn't. She was home with the Mastiffs.
With the Mastiffs.
And then, so Ruth leaves. But before she does, Nora and Nadia says to Ruthie, catch you on the flip side. And at this point, I was like, which flip side, though? Which flip side? Where are we going?
Establish a place.
This is very, again, the echoes of season one. This is very when she grabs the book to go give to John.
John's daughter.
John's daughter. And she's like, Lucy. See another life. This has the same vibes of her like telling Ruth goodbye in a way that like, not really sure what the goodbye means.
In season one, I was worried for Nadia. In season two, I'm worried for Ruth at this point. Yeah, for sure.
I'll see you in another life, brother. let's look into mine. Sorry.
That's good. See you on the flip side, brother.
Vera, in her maternal instinct, has made the Krugerrand necklace and gives
Krugerrand.
I can't. Yeah, Krugerrand.
Yeah. Krugerrand.
Yeah. Krugerrand.
The Schrödingerrand necklace.
You know, that thing. The necklace, the coin necklace.
Krugerrand.
Put a lot of, like, this is super dense. It's like so dense with all of the words and theories and all of
lots
the things.
Of consonants and lots of vowels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Krugerrands are very, they're very dense. They're made of solid gold.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she gets a necklace of a Krugerrand. And says to Nora, hey, this is like, this is for you now, but you have to give it to Nadia later. Like, she can't even give Nora anything, like, at all. It's just for Nadia later. And we know that Nadia gets it in the long run. So I
will
just
say,
like, good on Nora.
That does seem like Vera maybe has taken, you know, this is the kind of thing where, like, you know, people, I think I can be like this, and someone's like, you should do this, but I don't think so. And then I, like, think about it for 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, that makes sense. This is very, like, Vera saying, like, this, I'm giving you this, but it's actually for Nadia, implying that, yeah, I guess you might be able to take care of Nadia. You can give her.
Yeah, that could be.
So
that could be.
Maybe she did take the advice.
I see that.
Something. Mm-hmm. It's something.
And as soon as Vera leaves, Nora, Nadia gets up. And she's like searching for stuff. I'm like, oh no, what is she looking for? Oh yeah, that's right. She's gonna steal herself as a baby. And she leaves. She leaves with the baby, mm-hmm. with the bebé, and she walks to the subway station. And she's like, this is like the personification of self talk. Like, she's like, yeah. Hello, newborn me. I'm going to tell you things. Mm-hmm. And she's like, if I could have changed things for Vera, would have changed things for Nora, which would have changed things for me. You know, trickle down genomics, which we know doesn't work. Like, just doesn't work. No matter what type of trickle down we're talking about, doesn't work.
No. Wait, thanks. But isn't this basically, I don't know. Is it? I actually don't know what genomics is, but isn't this epigenetics basically?
I mean, epigenetics is. Go, like, I think she's talking about changing the actual things that happened, not necessarily changing the
right.
like the genetic makeup. But I see your point.
But genomics is the biology focusing on structure, function, evolution, mapping, and editing of genomes, right?
Correct.
So,
think here she's being genuinely just kind to herself, literally, as opposed to like hoping that the kindness will like. Trickle down or whatever, but it is to that point, it's like a treat, right? Like you talk about, like, in, you know, in therapy or whatever, kind of mental health support that you get, you know, there's talk sometimes of like your inner child and what your inner child needs and like, you know, trauma stemming from like younger in life. And this is her like basically talking to her purest self, like her newborn self, who has experienced very little trauma, really just the trauma of the guy on the subway, and like hoping to, like, you know, make positive or like emote positively at the baby. I think it's kind of beautiful.
And I think when it comes to, like, I think looking at trickle down genomics in a very linear and literal sense does not work.
So I from what I took from this little segment, it's very small, she's basically saying, like, trying to go back in the past, trying to fix Vera, and Nora, and then Vera absolutely did not work. So what I will do is I will just actually change myself.
Correct.
I will just raise this baby out. You will have the best mother you could have ever had, which is yourself.
Right, exactly. Which is part of therapy, which is like reparenting yourself is a modality of healing when it comes to trauma.
This is a lot, though. Like, I love myself, but I don't know if I could take care of myself as a baby. You know, like, feed and just like stay up, and like I need to sleep.
Well, give yourself opportunities to sleep then. That's
by not stealing the baby.
Yeah.
That's my best opportunity for sleep.
Fair point.
Love yourself from afar. No, I'm just kidding. No, but the idea, you know, I'm like picking it apart foolishly, but like the idea of like this personification of, you know, self-love is very apt for everything that has come before this season.
Yeah, I was thinking about this is a bit of, welcome to Marissa's personal share. I was thinking about this the other day in terms of like my journey, because my mom said to me, she's like, you seem really happy, and it's been a while since that happened. And I was thinking, like, how did that change? I think it's because I've gotten to a point where I've parented myself to feel safe enough to be happy. And like that type of reparenting, like just providing safety for this baby could change the trajectory of Nadia's life. I don't know. This is, yeah. We don't have to come to my therapy session. Moving on.
I mean, we all have red, we all have red hair at that age, so it totally makes sense.
I did have like super yellow hair, but can we talk about?
I also had blonde hair.
Like yeah, yellow, like yeah, like it was.
I don't remember.
But can we talk about how they found the cutest baby? Like this baby was so cute, and like just holding on to Natasha, and like with her head, yeah. like curiously looking.
It's the eyes, the big eyes.
So I cute. Hope this baby yeah. has a contract already, like an acting, you know, like an agent. You know, representation, very important.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got, she keeps on talking and Nadia's like, this reparenting shit's going to give me an aneurysm, which would give you a baby aneurysm. Like, I think she understands, like, that's the way we've got to go now. So she gets on the train. She gets on the train. Alan gets off a train in 1962. And this time, the men in the station are not as welcoming as they were before, because she gets asked for papers right away. Like, hey, where are your papers? Where are you going? And she's like, West Berlin. Bold move. Bold yeah. move.
I'd just like to go across where you know that giant wall you built? I would yeah. like to go on the other side of the giant wall that got built, presumably for no reason.
Yeah. Dear Alan, who is so, so, so normally at naive. Least careful, you know, yeah. like, yeah, he can be naive. He can be a little, you know, childishly curious. But here to just be so wrong is I was like, come on, Alan, come on, you're right there, you got the charm, that smile that you love wielding now in this form is not going to get you out of every single thing. You have to help yourself.
Yeah, that didn't happen. I mean, well, I think maybe he got out of, or she got out of, not getting taken, like any of the information being taken down, and was able to get on the train back to a time that wasn't yeah. this time.
It's also sad because this is like, we saw Alan so happy, and this yes. is certainly saddest Alan. I noticed, because I always watch with the closed captioning on, and I noticed mm-hmm. that they didn't translate this one word. Like, it says like, I think you better like go home, and then uses this word. I don't know if it's like Fraulein. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's like basically like a term. I don't even know if I should have said, I guess, because it is a band. It's like not a term that is used, and it basically just means like a single woman in yes. German, but it's like, it, you know, was seen as rather sexist. Like it's an admonishing term. So I don't know if I should have used it. So I don't know. Maybe I'll bleep it. But
yeah, no. I mean, I think it's something that you hear, and you know, and here it's something. You know, you're just reporting the news. It's probably fallen out of.
So it says from the 70s, it was used less yeah. often, and was banned from official use in West Germany in 1972 by the Minister of the Interior. Nevertheless, the word as a title of address and in other uses continues to be used, albeit a much reduced frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I think it just shows the quick change that has happened in the perception of Agnes by the people around her in this, like the wall mm-hmm. went up and things have escalated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's important. Thank you for catching that.
Yeah.
So Alan gets back on a train. We don't know where he's going. Meanwhile, Nadia's on a train with herself as a baby and is saying, do you want a little 666 tattoo on your forehead? You look like a pentagram, so baby. Yeah.
What is this?
What?
Well, no, when she was born, the Running with the Devil song was playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, we'll have to see if it comes with anything.
Mm-hmm. So this was, I got very worried at this point, because typically when she gets on a train, she does not have anything that came with her.
Right.
I've never seen her get on with anything.
Right.
And now the baby did come with Nadia, and I'm like, oh boy, I feel like this is bad news to have brought yourself. This is bad.
Is it going to be like bad. Black hole of Nadia? Like, is she going to yeah. like implode into herself?
Yeah. I was like thinking the baby would not. And what happens with Nora's Nadia? Like, so like in every universe, when she gets on the train, Nora seemingly stays in 1982 and lives her life as her until she gets back. But now this Nadia, so what happened to the baby that Nora was holding? It's all,
yeah, like they think Nora lost the baby. I wasn't even sure. I mean, a little bit to your point, I wasn't even sure what was going to happen once she took the baby, like as far as physically what was going to happen to the baby, if it was going to disappear, if it was going to be transported back, if someone was going to steal it, like the Krugerrands. But she got through it and was like, oh boy, this cannot be good. The universe is working extra hard right now to keep things from falling apart seemingly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this is where, as an audience, we're being asked to suspend belief and logical and linear. I mean, we have been like most of this time, but like now it's like things are going to get weird because we're having these thoughts of like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to like two Nadias in the same time, two different time Nadias in the same time. So I think it's like the starting of the, as we see in the rest of the episode, like we are going to be playing with the what ifs and the all of the things.
I don't know, but I had already suspended disbelief that Nadia could go back in time. And be well, in her mother's body. No, but I feel I like
totally, I time travel all the time, Grace.
Yeah,
okay, I don't know if you know this.
What I feel like I was sitting, like the thing of science fiction, right? Is like it does play by, there are rules, at least good science fiction. You know, I think where bad science fiction is that the rules don't make sense. But science fiction is kind of the idea that like we're playing by the rules that exist in our life, in our world,
sure.
Versus fantasy that is like, oh, there's also like elves, you know? So science fiction is playing. So there, you know, I do. And then again, I think for good science fiction, there has to be rules. And I think that by bringing yourself back into the future, you are breaking the rules and therefore things will start to break.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
That makes sense.
While we're on the train, I just want to mention this in case anyone needs this. I feel like this line was a gift to the audience because this man comes up to Nadia's like, what's a cute baby? And she replies, happy to remain a missed connection, which in case you need it, and in case anybody ever shows up that you don't want to talk to, I was like, this one I'm going to write down. Happy to remain a missed connection. Thanks.
Yeah, I think they got rid of, maybe they didn't. I think they got rid of that on Craigslist, but either way, it's a great line.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. And meanwhile, she's getting a bunch of text messages. Hey, are you coming? It's Ruth. Happy birthday. You know, she's getting all of these text messages, nothing from work, which was great. And then she got a phone call and it's Max. And Max is like, Ruth had a pulmonary embolism, which means she has a blood clot in her lung. They don't know if she's going to make it. And Nadia's like, oh, crap. Okay, I'm on the 6 train. I'm on my way.
Is it a baby?
Yeah. Is that a baby?
Yeah.
We get to the hospital. Max and Lizzie are there. Of course they are, because they're the greatest people on the face of the planet. Yeah. They're there. And Max goes up to Nadia and says, hey, it doesn't look good. And then, like, 2 seconds later, there's another Max and Lizzie.
Yeah, this was weird.
Yeah.
They're right in front of her and then they're across the room.
Yeah. And
they're wearing different clothes, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Max is definitely like in a pink fur coat type of situation in this one. And we hear Max say, what's the over under on Nadia showing up at all? Well, Nadia just showed up. So like, what the frick's happening? And in this case, with pink coat, Max, it's just a fender bender for Ruth. It's not a pulmonary embolism. So, okay, what's going on here? And Nadia's trying to figure this out. So she's like, I gotta give this baby to Lizzie because I gotta go investigate. And this was just I started crying at this because she's trusting these people with her, like, herself, with her baby, her purest form of self, with her baby self. And she says, she gives herself to Lizzie and it's like, yeah, the baby doesn't need to see this. Lizzie's like, yeah, newborns are blind. And Nadia says, that's just dogs, newborn dogs. And Max is like, yeah, love is blind.
And love is blind.
Max always ready with a good pivot.
Yeah. I mean, she's not lying. Again, she's
doing
not
great. Lying. She lies so little Arguably never.
Yeah. And Nadia continues to say, these are the two safest women I know. And, you know, it's a low bar, but go to war with the army we have. Stay here. I'll be back.
I love the truth in all of their relationships. You know, yes. they all just speak the truth with each other. It's rather adorable.
Yeah. I think the show is special in the way that it shows women relationships. Mainly because it's not where, like, it's been portrayed as, like, one-upping or, you know, they're all on equal playing field here. And you can tell the love and admiration that they all have for each other. And I just think it's really special. And especially in this moment, this is why I needed the Kleenex at this moment, because I was just like, how they have a family. They made a family of their own. So
it's really good when like, maybe it's a drug baby and yeah. She sniffs it just to make sure. Just check in.
Yeah.
Drug babies. That's the future.
What future? But on that
right
wait,
future.
I'm gonna go find a baby to sniff. We're gonna take a quick commercial break. And we'll be right back.
Flex your business with an American Express Business Gold Card. You'll earn 4 times membership rewards points on your top 2 eligible spending categories, like transit and electronics, each month, on up to $150,000 in combined purchases per year. Plus, you can now earn 3 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Amex Business Gold, built for business by American Express.
Regular gum is boring, but Ice Breakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Ice Breakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Ice Breakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Sephora stores are everywhere you are, so just pop in when you need a brown lip to match your 90s playlist, a confidence boost before your interview, or a last-minute gift for mom's birthday. There's always a Sephora near you. Just pop in. Use our store locator to find your local Sephora or Sephora at Kohl's.
It's the Smucker's Uncrustables Radio Hour. With round, soft, pillowy bread filled with delicious PB&J, here's your host, Uncrustables.
Caller on line 3. What's eating you?
No one.
Crust, is that you?
Ugh.
Uncrustables are the best part of the sandwich. Sorry, crust.
And we're back. In the hospital, again.
Yeah, in the hospital, again. We've got Baby Ruth hanging out with Max and Lizzie. Not Baby Ruth.
I said Baby Ruth. But,
I know. But yeah,
that's baby a child. They're delicious, though, Baby Ruth.
Baby Nadia hanging out with Max and Lizzie while we're checking on Ruth in the hospital. We find out that Ruth is in room 3. So, of course, Nadia runs back there. She's like, oh, good, you're here. And Ruth is like, yeah, of course. Like, you finally made it. We're going to go home, but I have to stop and get my Valium. And Nadia's like, wait a minute. You have a bunch of Valium already. What's going on here? Max said you were dying. And Ruth is like, Max is so dramatic. Like, and we can tell, like, Nadia's trying to figure out, like, something might be up with time here. So she asks Ruth, what day is it? And Ruth is just like,
you're just trying to give me your birthday. I have a whole week to plan. It's very cute.
Yeah. And but like, it's cute, but also alarming because we know Nadia was just born. Like, it was today. So she's like, okay, all right, you stay here. Let me go check in with another nurse. So she checks in with another nurse. And I thought this was like very aware. I don't know if I would have the awareness to ask again where Ruth is. Like, you know, Nadia just goes and asks another nurse, okay, I'm here to check on Ruth. Do you know where she is? Yeah, she's in Bay 7. And so we've got another Ruth hanging out in the hospital now. And before she goes to greet this Ruth, she says, effing time bomb. No kidding. No kidding, Nadia. You have created the time bomb.
You know, I didn't even consider the fact, you know, because normally in time travel, when you travel It's not all, I mean, obviously it depends from like project to, or it's from a movie or TV show to movie to TV show. But, I didn't realize that, like, yeah, if it was her birthday, then it would still be her birthday here in the current time, because she's just traveling across years, not across dates necessarily.
Well, we don't know. Like, I think that's like, they're playing with the rules. I think
But like, my point is, even before this time shift, had she not brought the baby, it would have been the same. It would have been the same day. It's like something that I had like lost track of.
Mm-hmm. Well, when she was in the hospital, I think they were like a week out from the due date, mm-hmm. which was March 30th.
Yeah.
So, she's asking like, what day is it? They want to keep Ruth overnight, run some tests. We hear the Willy Wonka music, so things are getting a little wonky. She starts to look around and she sees Max and Lizzie with the baby Nadia, and then she also sees Ruth, who was just right by her, smoking outside on the patio.
Very quickly, the show, every little thing, especially with Max, this is really a good eater.
Right? Yeah.
And then Max holds up a prep pamphlet for like, yes. For people who like are at risk of contracting HIV. Uh-huh. I don't really know why she's just like, huh?
She's like, you might need this. And honestly, it seems no shade attached, but like, you know, Max is speaking from her own experience.
Oh, perhaps. Sorry, I did jump ahead a little bit. Sorry.
No. It's all. There's time is all.
There's a lot. Time.
You were just prepping. You were just prepping.
I was
prepping. Yeah, sorry. No, it's fine. But yeah, like they're still taking care of baby Nadia out there, and when she goes outside to meet Ruth, Ruth is smoking a cigarette, and then Nadia takes the cigarette away from Ruth, but smoke is still like coming out of Ruth. Like, it's very, very weird. Like look like a horror movie shot to me, but I don't watch a lot of those.
Slowly,
it's a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought she was like literally about to drop dead right there when we saw that. I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, oh, is it happening? Apparently, Ruth is the hottest thing in the hospital. Everybody wants to take pictures of her insides. Not sounding great. Not a thing that we want to be hearing.
No. It's like, what if paparazzi, but worse?
Yeah, but worse. Mm-hmm.
But gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but gross.
Yeah.
And she wants to, she's like, I know I'm a few days early, but happy birthday, baby. And she's like, no, today is my birthday. Like, again, we don't know when are we? Mm-hmm. So she walks back in the hospital. There's some sort of coding happening. She thinks it's Ruth. She runs in. She's like, oh, Ruth. It turns out it's not Ruth. Thank goodness. But she goes back to Bay 7 and Ruth is gone. And she asks the hospital staff, like, hey, is there a Ruth Brenner anywhere? There's no Brenner on the floor. What day is it? It's March 22nd. No, it's March 30th. And the lady says, as a medical professional, I'm telling you it's March 22nd. And I just was like, what is happening?
So the one thing I do want to know is that the Ruth who's outside who's smoking says, the first Ruth we see, she's like, I know I have a full week to plan your birthday. And then the next, you know, we don't really get a birthday because it's such a quick interaction. It is implied that it is March 30th. And then the third Ruth we see, she's like, I know I'm a few days early. That's the only one where I feel like we have not seen that timeline. Like at least the first one, we do know that she gets in a car accident and she goes to the hospital. And the last one, we presume, is what's happening in March 30th when she gets a call saying, hey, she has an embolism, pulmonary embolism. But then this third one is like kind of like a third thing that's happening, in my estimation, that like we haven't seen this timeline. It's not like she went to the hospital a few days before. Unless she did. While
she was in Budapest.
While she was gone.
Or was she was time. Or like 1944 Budapest.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I think that's a good call out because without meaning.
Which timeline is this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so the question to me is, so last year or last season, they did do multiverse. I think the question for me is, are they in a multiverse or is she experiencing all versions of time? So it's a little confusing that it is two different things. Like there's multiverse is when you make a decision and then those two things spread out from each other. And now you have two parallel multiverse is. But what kind of maybe seems to be happening here is that she's experiencing all these things happen in the same timeline, but she's seeing them all in the same moment.
Which goes back to the be in the present moment.
Be in the present moment, yeah. Because now she's experienced everything.
Yep.
Ultimately. She can. Yeah. She
everything
can't,
all at once.
She's at minimum experiencing several moments at once, if not everything.
Yep. Everything yeah. And I know, like, yeah. Time mm-hmm. could all be, and when like there's been a lot of writing on how the only time that exists is now, like everything also, can happen yeah. in the same moment.
And also the thing I would say is that like the show has the rule that was established was that anything that happens, and so yeah, it does not feel like this is the same like the multiverse situation that we got last season. It seems like something different, I think.
Well, and I think it's also playing with this idea of Schrodinger's cat. It like this the whole hospital scene. I just want to like define it for people who might not be familiar with it, but it's basically like a thought experiment. I'm not an expert, but you can Wikipedia it on your own and dive deep into it. But the main takeaway
you're not a doctor, Rizzi?
Nor a quantum physicist.
Yeah,
I know.
You.
Don't say it. I am useful.
Dear hates you.
Yeah.
They basically it was a like it's an experiment with a cat, a flask of poison, and a radioactive source. And basically, if the flask is shattered, releasing the flask is shattered when atoms start to decay, which then releases the poison, which then kills the cat. But after a while, if you're looking at the situation, the cat can simultaneously seem alive or dead. And so I think we're kind of playing with, or will be as we continue on this story, playing with that concept. I don't have a lot of experience with that. Do either of you have Schrodinger comments?
No, I mean, I know like until you look at the thing, until you observe it, it could be either or simultaneously both, because what you're like, it's physics, right? Like your observation of the thing affects the thing.
Right.
So that's what kind of decides. So until you decide to look at it, it could be both or either both at the same time or one or the other.
Yes, that's a much better way.
I have not experienced this, and I'm allergic to cats. But so I would never open the box. Just like ew, no, I have to take my Benadryl. So yeah, no to the cat. Sorry, cat. I hope you're alive in there.
I don't know, I feel like I'm very familiar. I feel like it's been in a ton of media. That's why I was looking at the Wikipedia page, like, you know, Rick and Morty, Futurama, the Big Bang Theory, all Charlie Brooker is a big user of Schrodinger's cat as a thing. I don't know. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Is the cat alive or dead? Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Because, and who knows what's happening with Nadia here? Is she alive or dead? Because while she's sitting here waiting because of the nurse telling her, hey, check it out, you're having a panic attack. I'm gonna just sit here, wait a minute. We hear someone come in and says, this 36-year-old woman got hit with a taxi. I was like,
No.
That sounds familiar. That also sounds not 2022.
Also, did you find anyone that had fallen into like a sidewalk?
Who had drowned, fallen into a pit, fallen on the stairs?
Something like that. Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. She follows the body bag that was being taken by these EMTs down to the corners. And here we have all of the Nadias from season one.
Now we are multiverse.
We even have Alan Nadia in there. I was like, wow, I didn't know that was an Alan Nadia. No, this is Alan.
Yeah. She finds an Alan. Mm-hmm. And then she's like spooky action at a distance. I don't know if that was referring to something, but she said it. It was like the first thing she said in a long time. But
it is an Einstein quote. It's entanglement is spooky action at a distance.
Quantum
a phenomenon by which one particle can effectively know something about another particle instantaneously, even if those two particles are separated by a great distance.
And that happens because while Alan's like somewhere else, he knows something's up at the same time.
This is like twin tuition.
I like it.
Maybe they're twins.
Maybe they're soulmates.
A kind of twin. Aww. Yeah, I love this. I love when he is feeling that. That's just like super. It's such a great way to showcase their connection, whether it's, you know, whether you believe that it's real connection via, you know, messages, whatever, or just him caring about her so much. It's really beautiful.
Wait, but he's noticing it because he gets off the train. My interpretation of what happens when Alan gets off the train is that things from different times are happening,
yes,
all in the same
time. He's experiencing kind of what Nadia is experiencing, but Nadia is experiencing it with her personal history and her personal story and inside a hospital. And he is experiencing, because when he gets off the train, it's 1982, but then he can use the cell phone to try to call Nadia. And then he walks into the park and sees himself. So yes, they're both experiencing
drunk self and
the same type of thing. Yeah,
I assumed. Now, does he actually get off in 1982? I assumed he got off in 2022, but Guardian Angels run by. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I cannot remember.
I have to rewatch.
It seemed to me because of, like, it's weird because he was able to use, and, you know, again, like, not to like nitpick too much, but like, he did use his cell phone, which theoretically he wouldn't be able to use, but he also was, it seemed like he was calling the number too early, where he was like, I know you don't, you still have this number, you know, kind of like how to say someone else will have this number at one point. But
when was Dinkins mayor of New York?
Yes, Mayor Dinkins was a while ago. That was the other giveaway. That was late 80s, I believe.
Well, he's a mayor of New York from 1990 to 1993.
Okay, well, late 80s was
he went to early 90s. Watermelon time instead. So point being, they are all over the place.
Yeah.
They are all over the place, seeing different scenes. Nadia is like, I have to collect myself, literally, and goes and takes her baby self away from Lizzie. And Lizzie's like, where are you going? And I mean, this is super honest from Nadia. She's like, nothing I say is going to make a difference because time is collapsing. You're stuck in your moment. I'm stuck in mine. Peace out. I just need to get my emergency contact.
Sure. Do you know what the Alan thing is? So he definitely gets off in 2022, but the Guardian Angels then confront like a group of people who look like they're out of 1944. And then he uses a cell phone. Right.
So time is like somewhat collapsing.
Time is collapsing.
That makes the most sense, because it struck me as weird that they would like that cell phone detail. That's not something that they would have just like let pass. This isn't like Starbucks in Game of Thrones. You know, this was like clearly.
This is much more upper echelon. Agreed. Yeah, like it's kind of like if we think of that, what was a video feedback loop? Like there's just different slices of time in front of itself over and over and over again.
Yes, the new fruit. This is the new fruit.
The fruit. Yeah, this is the pressure for sure. Mm-hmm. Nadia just needs to get back to her emergency contact, which is Alan, which is probably true. Like they probably have each other as emergency contacts, and I just love it so much.
Yeah.
Alan, speaking of which, goes to Nadia's, and sees all the photos. And we know she's inside the apartment. It's 2022. And Alan already knows like something's not right. Meanwhile, Nadia is trying to get to Alan's, sees our neighbor friend. Remember our neighbor friend from season one who didn't want to feed the fish, but now is feeding the fish, but also still killing the fish.
They either overfed or underfed. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah. Poor Boba Fett.
And then immediately again is like, she sees her again. She's like, I killed the fish. Much more blatant and to the point in that one.
This universe version of her is later to her appointment than the other one.
I just remember that Boba Fett is in the tank, like he's in the tank in Star Wars. The show is so great.
Sounds like maybe he's not in the tank anymore. But yeah, you're right.
Well, you know, like yeah, the tankity tank. Anyway.
I either overfed him or underfed him, and then he jumped out of the tank. I don't know.
Like Nemo. Oh my gosh.
Free will.
Alan, in one of our time slices, Alan goes to the deli and sees Farhan. And Farhan's like, hey, cool. It's so good to see you. Look, it's my dad. And Alan's like, yeah, cool. Your dad died 3 years ago. What?
And called Marissa earlier in the season. He said that it looked like from perhaps it's a relative, and these and the Aero, I think you said these often get passed down by family. So
yeah,
and it's crazy because he's the same age as when we first met him. Yeah, so like Fran is looking at
Fran just
dad.
Like, look, it's my dad. His dad is like 20. Yeah.
Well, I mean, something's not right because Fran's like, hey, look, I found this cat in the dumpster, and then I found this cat in the like. Look, it's oatmeal. Me oatmeal. Listen, there's so many oatmeals.
Say hello to oatmeal. Say hello to oatmeal.
Just like my daily overnight oats, you can't just get one oatmeal. You got to get a lot in there in the bowl. Like, it's not just one
your
oat.
Overnight oats.
Like, it's like you got to have a lot for it to be a meal. So I get it. But I did love like his disc was skipping. He was like, oh, look, it's oatmeal. Oh, look, it's oatmeal.
Time is collapsing. Like, it is legit happening.
Yeah, my allergies were very, very activated at this point.
Yes. Yeah, and it's a cat, the Schrodinger's cat, all of this stuff.
Yes.
Nadia is over back at Allen's, and I just love, like, she's walking around with baby Nadia and talking to Alexa, and his Alexa was set to German.
That's
I thought
so
it
great.
Was so cute. I was like, of course it is. And adorable. Apparently, she says whatever is needed to trigger Beethoven's Concerto Number 4, which we know as the great tune of Alan's Get Up, Get Out song from season 1. So we're getting a little bit of a clue here where maybe it has to go back. We have to go back to season 1. Meanwhile, we notice there's like a bunch of Berlin maps, a lot of different books. I do love that Natasha Lyonne put a dig at Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking, basic. That was like, ooh, shots fired at Stranger Things.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Alan's walking through the park and sees Ferran taking care of Alan in the park and is like, no. And then like the next minute here is like protesters saying no yuppies. So like we've got so many different times happening.
Yeah.
And Nadia goes into Alan's bathroom and like spends some time there trying to figure. And I thought, I was like, is she going to pull the mirror off and climb through a tunnel? Like, I don't know.
Ooh,
like,
right.
What's going to happen here?
Right. Give us the speakeasy now.
Yeah. And then we cut to Alan, and Alan is at Max's. I was like, that's Max's. How could it not be Max's bathroom? Like, I need to see like 2 seconds of this to know that he's at Max's bathroom.
We've seen it probably more than anything else we've seen.
Yeah. 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 And we hear, gotta get up, gotta get out.
Yeah, we hear the familiar knock, 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 too.
Yeah, the knock and the portal's there and the gun handle, everything is there. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? Did they switch bodies? Like, what's happening? Yeah.
I thought it was a body switch for sure.
And especially the fact that he pulled, because it had been a while, probably since like the very beginning of the first season where we saw her pull the trigger. And to see him pull it here, I was very worried for what it would mean.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, he's pulling the trigger.
What does the trigger mean for Alan though? Like, he's not, that means he's got to move. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got to get up. He's got to get out. And he opens the door and sees the Nadias.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, how's it going? I just got to tell you, fellow listeners, you probably know what this all means, but I have no clue what all of this means at this moment in time.
Boy, it feels like it's a lot to resolve in one more episode.
Yeah.
Alan is not close to, is it Lenny, who traveled to West Berlin? There's so much.
It's also like really uncertain to me how, like, there was such, I don't know, like, how are they connected other than the Einstein quote thing that we just like we figured out in the corner. Like, I still don't know how their experiences are connected, like the storyline of both of them.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking when you all were talking about, like, you know, resolving that storyline, like, I can see a world where he doesn't necessarily, like, he has to help her resolve her breaking of the thing, and he can't quite yet. I mean, on the one hand, you'd say, like, why even introduce that storyline if you're not gonna like resolve it in some way? But they're like, I loved that Nadia here seemingly is the same exact Nadia that we've been seeing our Nadia, and like they both know, they're both on the same page immediately, which is great. But maybe it's like we gotta fix the universe collapsing first before we do anything else.
We're the Avengers.
And as we said, there is the chance that we leave on things a little bit unresolved by the end of this next episode. That definitely, I think, thinking that there could be another season could definitely be something that happens. So I'm a little nervous.
It would suck if like this were the cliffhanger, and then now the last episode we go back in time and see that inside. Like that would really bum me out.
Or I'm still hoping for like that hidden track CD situation. Like maybe there's like what there's not.
One more.
There's not. But yeah, it's a lot, or it's a longer episode. I haven't checked the runtime.
They should check behind the portal. Maybe they put a picture or a letter behind the portal, behind one of the frames, behind the mirror. Maybe Nadia, a different Nadia, is helping them.
It is 29 minutes.
Oh boy,
so it's not.
Oh boy, we got a lot of work to do.
Well, tomorrow's episode is called Matryoshka, which is the official name for Russian dolls. So it feels like, you know, there'll be probably some type of closure. You know, I don't know. Anyway,
something. We'll see. I mean, it's probably going to earn its name.
Do we think Ruth is going to make it?
Which one?
there is a world where they did not, they did enough to set up this, like, delay the heartbreak into season three, I think, of like, it does not, even the worst she seems in the hospital does not, I mean, I guess, Maxine says, like, not sure how long she has, which I don't know, it doesn't exactly feel like, yep, like, today she's going to be, like, it could be in time, and that could be the season finale, but that could be something they push off for another season.
I just want to see Ruth's death not, like, of course it's going to negatively impact Nadia, but not like throw her into like the depths of despair and stuff like that. And I don't know if we're at a point for that to happen yet. I don't know.
I, you know, now that we're at the very last episode, I don't want it to happen. And not just because, like, I emotionally don't want it to happen, period.
Right.
But I can see the funeral being, like, the beginning of season three. Or, like, early season three. Like, and that being some sort of catalyst for something else that we don't know about yet. But to have it here and try to solve them, I mean, maybe that's what throws her into, like, a depression. And then Alan has to, like, help her get out of it so that they can save the universe. But it does. It already seems
all in
like
one
lot.
Episode. That's
what
lot.
I'm saying. It already seems like a lot. And then to introduce that, I feel like would potentially be too much. But, you know, I'm not a Russian doll, so who am I to say?
My thought is more like, if she doesn't have much time yet, Nadia has to sort of come to terms with accepting that she needs to be present with Ruth and other people that she loves and cares about, because there's not much, Ruth potentially doesn't have much time left. So continuing to do all this like shenanigan stuff. Also, you know, they very well could be like stuck is the other thing. Like, how does she get Nadia? If they both travel back, I don't know. Well, I'm very interested. We'll see. One more episode to go.
Keep the baby safe.
At least they're at a party now. The baby can drink.
Is it a party?
How great is this party? Yeah, it seems like it's Max's party.
Yeah.
Is it? I didn't realize that.
I mean, we don't know for sure, but it seemed to me like we were back at least time-wise, we were back at that same party for whatever reason. But we don't know because it was Nadia knocking. It wasn't the annoying people. So it could be different.
Oh, there is a party in the background. Yeah, you're right.
Well, boy, we gotta get up. We gotta get out. We gotta go watch this next episode and see how it goes.
Yeah.
If we don't watch it, then it's like Schrodinger's last episode, right? Like,
yes,
it doesn't exist.
And we, like, Schrodinger's Ruth, for real.
And then we can just have a podcast about like did or didn't it happen? I'm sure it would be very, very interesting, and I mean that very sarcastically. But yeah, crazy times. A lot of a large house that they have built that they now have to tear down. We don't know. But that's
or live
six.
In.
Or live in. Oh, the house is the home. I was going to try to say something profound. Episode 7, the last episode, Matryoshka. Grace said it better than I. Matryoshka.
Means like Matrix, you know?
It means Matrix. Exactly. Yeah, we know the Matrix.
Matrix.
Yeah. Neo, Carrie Ann Moss. We need more women. Anyway, so I think that's everything. We will be back tomorrow with the season finale.
Oh.
Episode 7. I can't believe it. We're down to the last doll within the doll until you break it and you realize that there's chocolate inside. Remember that? Like the Nestle Mr. I don't remember what it's called. But until tomorrow, for now, please, please get your bags out of the way. The doors are closing. Stand clear of the closing doors.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.